Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. So how are you guys doing today? How's your week going so far? You guys getting up, getting out, getting ready, doing things, doing running your errands, going to work, taking the kids to school, whatever you might be doing, maybe going to the gym. Listen, man, what an awesome day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So I wanted to gonna go ahead and kind of get this episode going this morning. And listen, I do a lot of devotionals, and my wife and I, we just went through a good time of consecration. And learned a lot spiritually, as well as mentally, just getting spiritually fed by the Word of God, and then just taking some time to kind of shutting down, shutting down social media, shutting down television, radio, whatnot, and just really, really kind of getting into a space where we're trusting God and we're seeking the Lord in our lives. And so how many of you ever done that? It's considered a fast. And so we did this awesome thing called the Daniel fast. And so pretty much, like I said, it's shutting everything down, really getting to the place of just focusing just on the Lord and His Word. And I discovered so many good truths in God's Word. I was reading throughout the book of Daniel. So, one of these times, one of these episodes, I'll probably get a chance to kind of get dive into it. But I just pretty much didn't really study, so to speak, but just read through the book of Daniel and then a little bit of Revelation. Since I'm going to tell you, out of everything that you read in the Bible about the end times and the visions and just everything that Daniel was shown, and then also John was shown in Revelations, we win in the end. I just kind of want to give you a spoiler alert for those of you that haven't read the end of the book. We win in the end. We win because, guess what? If you're a child of God and you are on God's team, if you are a representative of the kingdom of heaven, then guess what? You do win. We win. We win. Okay. We all win. But listen, you can experience God's victory right now. You can experience His victorious living right now. You can open up your Bible, but you can live according to God's ways and be blessed. I'm not talking about anything when it comes to, material blessings or financial blessings. That's all the cherry on top, right? And that's just the extra. But I'm talking about daily, walking daily with the Lord and how He how His presence is felt, in your life, and learning things, you're learning things about yourself. And I'll be honest with you, that was something that was really revealing for me, going through this fast, not eating what we normally would eat, and kind of losing a little bit of pounds on that. But that wasn't my real focus. My real focus was I wanted to hear what God had to tell me and what God wanted to show me. And I'm gonna tell you, given that time of seclusion, of course you still go to work and still got to do what you got to do, but when you come home, you don't turn that TV on, you don't turn the movie on or whatever. You just get into God's Word, listen to some worship music and everything, and just really dig in deep, and seeking the Lord, and I think that is the most that's the most revealing things, how many times that you guys have really thought about that, just really kind of like, I'm gonna shut everything down and I'm just gonna listen to God. I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna sit there and I'm gonna listen to His direction in my life. Amen. So listen, it's just awesome. So listen, before we get further in, I want to read to you a special devotional. This was a pretty awesome devotional. And It's I will free you. I will free you. And it says, why does God make us wait? That's a good question, right? Well, listen, it says, have you ever asked that question? God is all powerful. So why doesn't he fix our circumstances and remove our pain the moment we are saved? The Bible answers these questions in a few places. For example, Peter tells us God is gracious and kind, wanting as many people as possible to come to know him. But there's also work God wants to do in us while we're waiting. When we ask Jesus into our lives, our spirit is made perfect, but our body and soul, what do we do and what we think and feel are still far from perfect. We come into God's family full of sin, full of hurt, and full of baggage. So from the moment we are saved to the day Jesus returns, God teaches us the value of this new family we've been adopted into. He doesn't do this by giving a list of rules to follow, but by giving us the Holy Spirit as a guide. As we listen to the Holy Spirit and follow his lead, new desires displace our old ones. Freeing us from the old way of doing things is a lifelong process that requires our participation. We have to be willing to admit we have issues. We also have to let ourselves think differently. We might even have to change our influences, surrounding ourselves with different people, programs, or pastimes. But as crazy as it might seem or might sound, true freedom comes from submission. We spend our lives before Jesus chasing what feels good and do what we want, what we thought was right. And in the end, we were never fulfilled. Each time we follow the Holy Spirit, we become a little bit more like Jesus and a little less like who we used to be. Confidence that we are God's children replaces the knowledge that we are God's children. And that's where the real adventure begins. So what do you guys think about that? Man, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Those of you that, you know, that just came into Christ, the next step is reading his word and praying, but allowing the Holy Spirit to develop you and mature you into that man and woman, becoming the best version of yourself, right? Which is in God. Remember that. Whenever I say, you know, become the best version of yourself, listen, it's not what we create, it's what God creates within you. God is the one that changes you. He molds you and shapes you into the man he sees you to be, the woman he sees you to be. Okay? We're not where we at. I remember a long time ago in church, we used to say, I'm not where I used to be, I'm not where I want to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. And this is a progression. It is a lifelong progression. It is a continuous journey as we go forward. And once we read God's word and once we participate in that change, remember, God is not going to force you to change. You have to participate in it. Remember, he's a partner. He's partnering with you. See, God, I mean, he created all things. We're made in his image, his likeness, okay? But that's on the physical, and also that's on the creative side of things. We create so many things. If you look at man's accomplishments in the earth, they are phenomenal, awesome, right? But is man submitted to God? I mean, we can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. We can see how they were in the Garden of Eden and how God intended for things to be the way they were. But when man chose his own way, that took away from what God's intention was for man. And guess what? That broken relationship started way back then. Now, thanks to Jesus Christ has now been the sacrifice, but the bridge between lost man from the time of Adam all the way to now. Now we can now have that relationship that is now restored thanks to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey man, don't get me preaching this morning, man. I'm telling you, this is awesome though. I want you to just continue to pray to ask the Lord to give you guidance, give you strength, give you direction in your life and your path and whatever it is that you're trying to do. Put him first. Allow him in your life. Allow him to be a part of your life. Be not just a part of your life, but be life. Do life, right? He is the head of your life. And I guarantee you, you'll get more clarity. You'll get more direction. And I'm not going to say every day it's going to be perfect. I'm not going to say every day it's going to be good. But I am saying with God, God's going to change your outlook on the bad situations and even on the good situations. You're going to see it the way God sees it. Amen. Hey, listen, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. So we're going to get into day 11 of favor. And oh, man, it's going to be a good episode. So I want you to just kind of sit back and relax. Enjoy this episode. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for becoming just a listener, a subscriber. And guess what? You can hear me on all these other multiple ways that you can listen to podcasts, whether it's through the Google App Store. There's a Google Podcast. There's iHeartRadio now. You can listen to me on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to me through the app of Anchor. And I'm telling you, there's so many different ways now that you have no excuse. Share with your friends, share with your family, share with whoever you can, and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. All right. So welcome. We're going to get right into our devotion for today. We're in day 11 of the book called Favor, or the devotion called Favor. And so we're going to start off reading a scripture, two scriptures for that matter, that's going to be a part of this devotional. And the first one's going to be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 23. And it says, "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." And that's found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. And then the second one is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Says, "Lord, if it is you," or "if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Let's begin reading out of the devotion. Favor follows faithfulness. To live beyond our natural capabilities requires supernatural intervention that only comes when we live by faith. How do we live by faith? By applying God's word to our lives. Baking ingredients alone are not tasty by themselves. However, when we follow a recipe and mix ingredients together and apply heat, something marvelous happens. Our taste buds are fully satisfied as we enjoy a sweet treat out of the oven. It's not enough to have the ingredients, but we must do something with what we've been given according to God's instructions. His reward is supernatural favor applied to our acts of obedience that result in outcomes beyond what we could ask, think, or even imagine. What is God telling you from his word that you can put into practice today? God will meet us at our level of faith, and his favor will usher abundance into our lives. Okay, so we're gonna, in this particular devotional, a lot of times we have like a full chapters, like three, and this one is actually three full chapters. So we're gonna kind of skip around just a tad bit. And we're going to, before we go on to our break, we're going to read a few, but we're going to go to one of the shorter ones in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It's a simple one that says, so faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ. And this I've heard a lot in church a lot of times where, you know, pastors have taught this about the fact that it's important that we, you know, are able to come to church and hear the pastor and the preacher preach the word. And a lot of times, you know, this scripture or this verse has also been mentioned about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it's very true, because especially when we're talking faith, and the faith that we're talking about comes from, you know, talking about the word of God, but also in God himself. There's no way that without hearing God's word or even hearing about God, can we even have faith or, you know, our faith work. Faith in God's word basically work hand in hand. You know, you can have faith in so many things in this world, but faith also works when it comes to the word of God. And why is that important? Why is that so important? Because for one, you know, look at the nature of God and look at who God is. God is the creator of all things. He blesses us with the world around us as we go about our day. And sometimes we, you know, take for granted about the weather and the provision that he makes throughout our day and throughout the year, even. It's because of God. But again, how would you know that if you didn't read God's word? You know, or maybe somebody told you, but that's really not faith. It's just kind of thinking and trusting, believing that someone told you. But this is why I always say to study God's word, to rely on his word, to lean on his word. You know, it's important for us to rely and trust in God's word. And that's the Holy Bible. So just continue to do that. Continue to lean on God's word in your life and watch your faith grow. Not just and we'll read further, of course, that your faith also requires action. So, you know, a lot of times when you're listening or you're reading God's word, or maybe you might be listening to me and you may hear this verse of scripture. Well, yeah, go to it, read it, follow it, and then pray and ask God to show you, you know, how to apply God's word to your life, how to begin living by God's word. This is all part of faith. And a lot of times faith and trust go hand in hand. So a lot of times, you know, when you say faith, I think that a lot of times we're not thinking about trusting. We have to trust God. We have to trust God in his word and what he says he will do, what he says he will do in our lives, and applying those truths to our lives. Amen. So another one we're going to get into is James chapter 2. And let's do verses 14. Verses 14 through, I'm going to say verses 14 through 26. So just kind of listen along. And it says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? What kind of faith What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Sorry about this morning. Verse 18 says, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Verse 25 says, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Wow. So what do you guys think about that? That's pretty awesome. And that's pretty to the point and true. It's very true. You know, we talk about faith. We talk about our faith in God. We talk about our reliance on God. We when it comes to talking and expressing ourselves, we're really good at that. But how good are we to apply that faith in our lives when it comes to following the works of God, you know, following his word and putting into practice what we're reading, what we say we believe? Listen, as believers, how can we be better witnesses to a world that doesn't believe in God, that doesn't believe in there is a God, right? I mean, there's a lot of people out there that simply don't believe that there really is a God. And if you are living your life and you say, well, I have faith in God, and God, to them, you know, it doesn't appear that God exists. But here you are saying that you have faith in God. Well, if you never apply your faith into good deeds, into the works, into something tangible that a person that doesn't believe in God can see, how can they ever understand that God truly exists and God is real? See, that's the thing about us as believers and Christians. We have to get to the place in the world that we live in, the places that we are part of, our families, our homes and jobs and everywhere else. Listen, these people, they have to understand and know that your God is real. He exists. He's alive. He's alive and working in your life. And why is that so important? Because those people that didn't believe in God will hopefully one day be influenced and have the faith that you have, that God exists, and they will start to put into practice God in their lives. God is only real. God is only real is if you yourself, and I'm talking about real in your life, unless you start to have faith and put it into practice. Think about it. If you are just an average, say average Christian, okay, maybe in title, not in deed, not a true child of God. It's almost like, let me just say this. Like if you're a child and you never see your mother and father, you never see a parent. I mean, how do you know that you have a parent? How do you know you have a father? How do you know you have a mother, right? If you never see them, or if you never put into practice the things that you're supposed to do. Well, the same thing with God. God only is real to you as you begin to walk according to his word, his obedience to his word into your life. And then what happens? Not only is he real to you, but he's real to others. Others begin to watch your life as you go about your day and as you're expressing God, not just through words, but through your actions of what you do and how you behave. If God is working in your life, then he begins to change your personality, your characteristics, your character about you. Some people will come to you or come along to you and say, hey, you know what? There's something different about you. I notice you're not the same as you used to be. You used to, you know, maybe you used to behave a certain way, or you had certain habits that you used to do. And all of a sudden you're changing. Now, of course, a lot of people change, you know, whether it's eating habits, whether it's maybe exercise, maybe it's health habits or what have you. And so those are things that are that anybody could do. But when it comes to understanding about the your character, your old way of living, maybe you're patient level. Maybe you're a lot more patient. Maybe you don't have angry outbursts, or maybe you don't, you know, you're not the same. I don't know. Maybe the same. Maybe you told coarse jokes or bad jokes or something. Not really bad jokes, but offensive jokes, I should say, or something like that. You laughed at certain things. Maybe you had a bad attitude toward people in general, right? But the Lord began to work on you from the inside out. He began to move on your heart, and you wanted to change. You know, the Holy Spirit began to move on you to the point where every day you're reading God's word, and you wake up in the morning, you're praying, you're applying God's word to your life. Well, and you know, it's just like how they described in the devotion about baking a cake. The cake is okay with the ingredients, but once the ingredients is stirred up and everything else, and you put it in the oven begins to bake it, and you get this, you know, you get this warm smell and it, good smell, and actually, you know, you have a cake. Well, it's the same thing with faith, the same thing with you operating in faith, same thing as you walking in faith and applying God's word to your life. What happens is that aroma, you know, using the cake, for example, the aroma of God's love and God's forgiveness and God's patience and loving kindness and whatever God is starting to become more relevant in your life as well. The more you start to apply God's word in your life, the more you start walking in his ways, guess what? You're going to become more like your heavenly father. If you become more like your heavenly father because his character is rubbing off on you, his personality is rubbing off on you, guess what? Other people will not just, they will see a difference, but they won't run from it. They'll want to be more like you. They want to be more like God. To be more like you is not really to be more like you, but to be more like God. And you have the opportunity to be able to share God with them, share how God has changed your life, share with them how God can change their life as well. Isn't that amazing? So all of this has to do with, yes, God's favor, but God's love and his influence and his impact on your life. You know, this is one of the things that I've always loved about, as I share God's word with you, the listener, and anybody else that listens, you know, it's because it's all about sharing the love of God, but it's also making an impact on the lives around us. Listen, the more we open our mouths, the more we begin to walk according to God's word and God's love in our lives. Guess what? The world, one life at a time. There's a bumper sticker that says Jesus changed lives one life at a time. And it's so true. He changes lives one life at a time. At least in our lives we do. But he does it multiple times. And listen, it's all about Jesus' impact in the world. It's all about that. And hopefully, as you apply God's word, you'll be more impactful, more loving, more kind, more patient, more long-suffering as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. And guess what? The world hopefully will become even better by living, by operating in faith, by applying those works. The works and faith have faith and works should work together. Amen. So listen, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick short break. And we got more word to give you. All right, so welcome back. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read out of one of the longest portions of scripture in this devotional. And this is going to be out of Matthew chapter 13. And this is going to be very good, kind of lengthy, but again, I want you to kind of sit back and relax a little bit and just enjoy this this passage of scripture. We'll talk a little bit about it, not much, but we'll get into it a little bit. So just listen to as I read Matthew chapter 13. Verse 1 says, later that day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. They will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to go out to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn." Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used to make in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. "I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world." Then, leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy had planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, he dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into the crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. When Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught in their synagogues, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brother, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. So what do you guys think about this? Jesus was, man, he was awesome. His word, his wisdom, his knowledge, his description through parables and illustrations. I mean, he used parables and illustrations for people that wanted to hear and wanted to understand. They desired to hear. They desired to know the truth. They sat under him as students, as humble students, as a teacher. They didn't start off scoffing and mocking and have critiques and talked about, you know, like critiquing him and making him make it seem like he was nothing. See, when you first start to listen to Jesus, you start listening to God's word, you got to be humble. You got to already have the mindset that you want to learn. But if you come into God's word and you already have these preconceived notions and you already have a negative outlook on the Bible, outlook on God's word, and I don't know if I believe this, well, guess what? It'll never be revealed to you. You'll never truly understand it. But if you desire to understand God's word, then you got to pray and ask the Lord to show you, open your mind, your heart, so that you can understand. See, a lot of us, we have questions. And a lot of us are very inquisitive, very curious. Sometimes we want the details and everything else. But you know what? Sometimes there might be times in your life as you read God's word that this is what you're going to get. And you have to rest in the fact that this is what God's word says, period. And believe it. I love what he was explaining about the kingdom of heaven, about the seed and the sower, about how the word, how it was scattered on different types of soil, some rocky soil, some with on the path, and you know how the devil basically came and took away that whatever was given to them, or because of the trials and tribulations of life, sometimes you know come and choke out that. Receive it gladly, but are also quickly given away or taken away because you're distracted, or we're distracted, right? I love the fact that when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, how the kingdom of heaven is valuable, how its priorities are worth more than anything that you could ever have. It was comparable to something of great wealth. So where do you fit in this? Where do you see yourself in this? Do you see yourself as one that received the word gladly? Do you see yourself as one that follows his word and it produces good fruit in your life? Where do you see yourself? Now, even if you may not be the person that where it produces good fruit yet, if you have that desire and you want that desire, then yeah, go for it. Be that person, be that child that's humble and able to receive gladly. And then as you hear the word, begin to memorize the word and keep the word close to your heart, because you will be challenged. You'll be challenged by things that, good things, bad things in your life. It's hard sometimes, but remember, God is with you. You're not alone as you go through these challenges, as you go through these trials and tribulations. So I love the fact that we saw a picture of Jesus teaching as he stood in the boat, and the people, you know, he sat in the boat while the people stood and listened. So we have to be good students of God's word. We have to be humble to accept it and receive it, and receive it not only with gladness and joy, but begin to walk in it. And then as we begin to we begin to understand about the harvest, about the weeds, the wheat and the tare, and how the weeds grew among the wheat, and about the fish. Remember, there's coming a time when there will be a harvest, and the harvesters, which are the angels, will come, and they'll begin to separate the good from the bad, the good from the evil. So there are people that may look the part, and they may play the part, they may dress good, they may be prosperous, they may be rich, they may be wealthy, they may be prosperous in their goals, in their dreams, their aspirations. They might be successful in their business, but will they enter the kingdom of heaven? Will God bring them into heaven after all they ever have done on the earth? Will they be able to enter God's heaven? That's the key. You can succeed all you want here, but wind up going to hell. See, it doesn't matter about your success and your achievements if you are not a child of God. I mean, your success only stays here and only belongs here. So just think about that. I hope this is something that blessed you and, you know, that blessed you and helped you. So we're going to end it here. And I pray that this was a good lesson for you, as it was for me. And we're going to continue on from day 11 to day 12. And I hope that you have a wonderful and awesome day, an awesome week in front of you, whenever time you listen to this podcast. And like I said before, thank you. Thank you for coming by and checking this out, listening. And we're going to catch you soon. And again, stay tuned for the next episode of Larry's Biblecast.